Good afternoon, everybody. We are recording this week. Miami and the Virginia Cavaliers start on Thursday. And my guest this time is Kaki Franciulli, right?
Yep, Franciulli.
Franciulli from Wahoo 24-7, 24-7 Sports. Came from Virginia 3:30 Saturday. She has a few minutes to join us. And Greg Media has joined us also from the Daily Progress. Folks, good afternoon. Thank you for coming on. Can you guys hear me?
I can hear you.
Jackie? Okay, good. Good afternoon. Yeah, good. Watching highlights of last week's win by Virginia against Carolina, and to say that was a monster win last week would be an understatement. Whoever wants to take it first, Greg or Jackie?
Yeah, big win for the Cavaliers. No doubt about it, especially considering how much they had struggled earlier in the season, right? 0-5 start, and they finally get a win over William & Mary and FCS school, and then the upset over North Carolina, a huge win for a program looking for a huge win. They've been close, you know, a few times this season, had a couple of losses by 3 points or fewer. James Madison they lost in the final minute to. NC State won on a field goal. And as time expired, and then even at Boston College, UVA had blown a double-digit halftime lead, 2-touchdown halftime lead to lose by a field goal ultimately. So a lot went right for Virginia on Saturday. The running game got going. They were better up front on both the offensive and defensive lines than they'd been through the first half of the season. So they definitely excited about their big win this past weekend over UNC.
Yeah, the thing I noticed, Jackie, also, in the second half, they held Carolina to just 49 yards rushing and Hampton to 36 yards on 5 carries. What was the key at halftime? What adjustments did Tony Elliott make defensively to try to take away Carolina's really running game? You knew you weren't going to stop May, but take away their running game. I thought that was important. Jackie, can you hear me? Hello, Jackie, can you hear me? Jackie had to drop out. Greg, can you hear me on that?
Yeah, I can hear you. I think with the running game, as far as stopping UNC goes, a couple of different things, right? Virginia, they're an aggressive defense in nature. The defensive coordinator, John Rodzinski, likes to apply pressure. He's blitz heavy, stunt heavy. Defensive coordinator, likes to make it tough, and that's whether it's against the run or the pass. And Virginia did a good job. I think Carolina really struggled to adapt and play against Virginia's aggressive defense, and it benefited them. I think Carolina kind of abandoned the run there, especially fourth quarter. I thought that was one of the big differences in the game, Dan. I look at the lack of opportunities for Omari and Hampton, considering Virginia's struggled to stop the run really for most of the season, and just wonder kind of what happened. I know they got in, you know, 2-minute drill type situations down the stretch, probably the last two possessions. But even after Virginia went ahead, right, the 14-yard touchdown pass from Tony Musket to Malik Washington to put UVA in front, that came with, you know, a little less than 9 minutes to play. So there's plenty of time. And at that point, it's only a 4-point game, right? It's a score Virginia would end up winning by. There's plenty of time to give Hampton the ball. And they just, you know, didn't do enough of it, which a little bit of head scratching going on there. And I'm sure in Chapel Hill wondering, you know, why they abandoned the run game. But it worked to Virginia's benefit. They were really good against Drake May late. He was just 5 of 12 passing on those final three drives, three possessions in which Virginia was able to seal the victory with, including that last one when he threw an interception on his last throw of the game, intercepted by Virginia linebacker James Jackson. And they've got two pretty good backers, UVA does, in Jackson and then the freshman Cam Robinson. I think either Robinson or Miami's freshman, defensive end Reuben Bain, are probably top contender for top rookie in the AC, rookie defender in the ACC, right? Those two guys are as good as it gets. I think with Cam Robinson, he's up to 38 tackles already. I know Reuben Bain's been in the backfield a ton for Miami with what, 4.5 sacks already. You watch Robinson play, and you can see why Virginia is excited about his future. So he's one of the reasons why Virginia's been pretty good against the run. The two D tackles are excellent players too. Aaron Famui, older guy. Same thing with Jameer Carter, older guy.
Yeah, another thing, I was going to mention Reuben Bain, our defensive end. How is Virginia preparing to deal with a monster, trying to stop a guy like Reuben Bain, who has been unstoppable, as we saw it in the Clemson game?
Yeah, they know they've got to be as good up front or maybe even better this week than they were this past Saturday at Carolina, right? They probably had their best game on the offensive line against UNC. And they've mixed and matched some of their offensive line personnel throughout the year. Really, the big move was moving Brian Stevens, their best offensive lineman, in from guard to center. And they've been able to put a new tackle out there, Jimmy Crist, who's gotten healthy. He's a transfer from Penn State at right tackle. They feel good about their left side of the O-line and Mikhail Boley and Noah Josie. But the right side had been an issue, and it seems like they've sorted things out a little bit by bumping Stevens inside the center and then playing a little bit of a rotation between Ty Furnish and Ugonna Nana at guard. They're gonna have their work cut out for them, right? Because it's not just Bain. It's Leonard Taylor inside. Jafari Harvey's been a guy for Miami the past couple of years. He's been a good player.
Yes, he has.
It's just, you know, yeah, I mean, you know better than me, right? I mean,
yeah, listen, Jackie, I want to bring you in as well. And I asked Greg this: How is Virginia preparing to try to deal with guys like Bain on the D line? Hello, Jackie, can you hear me? Hello, Jack, is Jackie there? Jackie's having some audio issues there, so hopefully we can get her back in. But yeah, Greg, the thing I look at when I look at Virginia, I was very impressed last week with the way they shut down Carolina in the second half. Yeah. Hopefully we can get her back in. The thing I liked about Virginia's offensive line last week is they did not allow a sack in the second half.
Yeah, that's as good as they've played all year. And I think Virginia did a good job with their plan to have Tony Musket more involved in the running game. Maybe they couldn't do it the previous couple of weeks because he'd just come off the shoulder injury that kept him out for three games from the second game of the year through the fourth game of the year. And then you get into that Boston College game, William & Mary game, and maybe you don't want to run him as much. And I think it added to what they did offensively. You had the bye week for him to recover a little bit. They used him in the run game. He had, 66 rushing yards in that one. In a game UVA ran for 228. And, of course, no negative plays there in the second half for Virginia. So I think that was really, really important. It added an element that Carolina had to defend, and Musket picked his spots well when to run the ball. And I think it slowed down that pass rush a little bit because Kamon Rucker, Carolina's DN's a good player. The two linebackers, Cedric Gray and Power Echols, are probably two of the better linebackers in the ACC, probably one of the best linebacking duo in the ACC, those two kids for UNC. But Virginia handled it well, and they had some quick timing patterns to get the ball out of Musket's hands. He knew when to check down the ball, too. Even the play to Washington on the touchdown, he said Washington was his check down receiver. He had to scramble a little bit to get out of pressure, and then knew when to check the ball down so we didn't have to take a sack, and it ended up being the touchdown, the game-winning touchdown. So I think a couple of things that worked there. Certainly improved offensive line play. The added element of Musket's legs, and then even his decision-making, I think, was better this past Saturday.
Yeah, the thing I look at also with Virginia trying, knowing that, I'm thinking, how are they preparing Greg to deal with either Williams or Van Dyke if Van Dyke's healthy?
Yeah, I think the sense I got, it seems like they expect Van Dyke to play. That's kind of the feel Virginia has. And they didn't get to play against him last year, right? You remember the game, the four overtime, wild defensive game. He did not play in that game. Miami had to go with the backup then, too. I think they think Van Dyke's, really good. And they know the offense has changed for Miami as well, right? They moved to Shannon Dawson's air raid, which goes back to the West Virginia days with Dana Holgorsen. and what they were doing there in Morgantown. And they kind of have a feel for what that is and what that looks like because they've played against a couple of air raid teams already this year. I think the difference with Miami, maybe compared to, let's say, NC State, right? Virginia played NC State earlier this year, which runs similar offense with Robert and I. He goes back to, you know, Mike Leach and those guys too, is Miami's got that violent running game that's really – crystal ball stamp on the offense as the former, you know, former O-line coach. And that's what they're readying for. It's that, you know, push and pull between what Miami has, you know, in a passing game with those concepts that Dawson has, but also the physicality and the strength of Miami's offensive line in a running game. That, you know, they know Henry Parrish didn't play the last game, but they also know that Miami's got a couple of other running backs that can get downhill. So that's what's really tough when you play Miami. You know, it's not only Van Dyke and the receivers, it's the running game too now because of what where they've gone. And
hey, Jack, sorry, Jack, let me get Jackie. Jackie, can you hear me now?
I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. Is there anything you want to add to what Greg said about having to deal with that Miami offense?
For UVA, I know it's cliche, but they have to kind of focus on themselves. I know when you look at if you look at Miami's offense, yeah, Tyler Van Dyke is going to be there, so it's going to be opening up a little bit more of their passing game. But honestly, if you're Virginia's defense, you want to slow down that running game that was so prolific against Clemson, who's generally really known to stop the run. So if you're Virginia, you really need to stop the run, and that's going to be your focus, because Virginia's defense has done pretty well against the pass in the ACC, but it's the rush that gets them. I mean, UNC, and Greg touched on a little bit, UNC's rushing numbers were low in the second half, but that's because they just didn't run the ball. I mean, every time they ran the ball, they were effective. So I think that, so if you were Miami, you're going to focus on the ground game, because Virginia has, like when they were playing against UNC, the two touchdown drives for UNC, they had about 40 yards rushing on those two drives. So when you look at those big chunk plays, it's if you're Miami, you want to run the ball. And that's the main worry on defensive side for UVA, is stopping the run on Miami.
Yeah, the thing I looked at, I was very impressed with Mike Collins. Jackie, I know you saw it. I saw a tweet regarding Mario Cristobal. Our coach is going to honor the three shooting victims from UVA. Before the game. That's a class move. I like what we're doing. Listen, to say Mike Collins has been through a lot would be a major understatement. I mean, to consider what this guy has done is just nothing short of phenomenal. And what Tony Elliott has done to try to manage all this has just been nothing short of remarkable.
Yeah, no.
We all agree.
Yeah, this is definitely a team that's been – I think Tony Elliott said it best last November. There's no game plan for this. This is something that you don't know what to do. You just kind of have to, you don't move on, you move forward. Yes. So it's, you know, this team has had a lot. I mean, even in the first half of the game, you think about all the milestones that no other team, no other person really goes through. I mean, the game against Tennessee was the first game that they had to play since last November. And then against JMU, that was the first home game they had to play, and they played a game where you can say they buried their teammates once again after having that tribute in the beginning of the game. So this team has gone through a lot, and Mike Collins has gone through a lot. He's had to relive those moments several times. So, but he's also got a new belief in that, you know, he's playing the game that he loves when his friends aren't able to. So it's a lot of emotions for this team in addition to just football.
Yeah, I don't know, question, Greg, and both of you can attest to that. But yeah, listen, when I was talking to Greg regarding the running, regarding the passing game, I mean, they sacked May twice in the second half. I mean, preparing for Bane, preparing for that Miami, like you said. Let me throw this at you. I'm going to throw this to both of you. Keys to the game. Keys to a Virginia upset. I'll start with you, Jackie. Then I'll go to Greg.
I think what they need to do is what they did at UNC. That is probably the most complete game we've seen of Virginia in the last 2 years. Play complementary football, if I want to quote Tony Elliott and all the other coaches. That was the most clean football game as far as special teams that generally gave games away. You know, try to prevent those turnovers. I mean, they lost the turnover battle against UNC and still managed the win, but they need to play clean. No self-inflicted wounds. And if they can run the ball again and control the time of possession, that means their defense can be able to make those big plays without feeling like they're gassed or tired.
Yeah, Greg, you want to add your keys, Greg?
Yeah, I think running the ball goes with this. It's stay out of those third and longs against Miami's defensive front, right? That's a situation you don't want to be in. You don't want to give Ruben Bain the benefit of knowing you're going to throw the ball and the quarterback's going to need some time to throw the ball to get the ball to the sticks. So that's that to me. You got to stay out of those third and long situations. And they did that for the most part against Carolina, and they probably had their best game of the year on third down, especially on offense. Vice versa on defense, they did a good job on third down because they got the opponent, UNC, into some third and longs. And that's when John Rodzinski is able to dial up those blitzes and those stunts, and that matters too. So I think third down is absolutely huge. And getting into some favorable third down situations on both sides of the ball absolutely matters in this game against Miami. Like I said, offensively, you don't want to give that hurricane front some benefit.
No, absolutely not. Consider what we did against Clemson. I mean, that was just nothing short of unbelievable what we did.
Yeah.
And then Miami had not beaten Clemson in years since 1956 at home. That tells you how big that win was last Saturday night at home against Clemson.
Yeah, I'm sure.
That's the measuring stick. Now, my keys to the game, you know, we can't turn the ball over. Miami cannot turn the ball over. Miami has to play smart. They cannot commit stupid penalties, Miami has to force Virginia into third and long. And you know the one thing Miami has to do is really, you know, stop. Really, to me, when I look at him, it's really stop the run. And stop the run, that goes without saying. But Musket. I was pretty impressed with Musket last week. What did you say, Jackie and Greg?
Yeah, no, I think the one play that he would like to call take back is that interception where he kind of threw it. It looked like a little behind Malachi Fields, a little low. When you have a receiver like Malachi Fields, you want to throw it up high so he can go grab it. But yeah, no, he's a guy who's been playing with his shoulder hurt. He's going to need surgery after the year, so he's playing with a shoulder that has been giving him a lot of pain. But he's earned the respect of that locker room. And he's been playing well. I mean, what I liked in that game against UNC is they showed off a little bit of his ability to judge the situation and go off on his legs when he sees that gap, and he's able to do that. So he had 66 yards rushing, I think.
Yeah, 66 yards on 12 carries.
Yeah, on top of my head. So, yeah, I mean, Musket, I mean, it also helps when you have Malik Washington as one of your targets. I mean, he's had over 115
yards.
Yeah, I mean, he's been the beast for Virginia this year. So when you have a guy like Malik Washington, who's a sure target, then you have Malachi Fields that could be a mismatch on one-on-ones. It's good to be a quarterback. So plus with the more protection that he's getting on the O-line will allow him for more productivity. But Musket has certainly a guy that has experience playing, and he's definitely improved as the course of his coming back from Boston College till now.
Yeah, and I think Greg said it. But yeah, I'm okay, guys. I know Jackie, you're coming back from ACC Media Day, and Greg, I'm gonna let you go both out of here with a prediction. Your prediction for Saturday. I'll start with Greg first, then go to Jackie.
Yeah, I think Virginia, if they're gonna pull an upset, like I said, gonna have to kind of replicate some of that UNC game plan, but. You know, it's tough to forecast this one because you don't know which Miami team you're going to get. But I think the Canes off that win over Clemson and Virginia needing to replicate such a immaculate plan and execution they had the week before, it's going to be tough to do it again. So probably take the Canes at home.
Jackie?
Yeah, this has been a tough one because Virginia plays Miami pretty tough historically. You don't really know what you get when these two teams face in the last, 15 years. Both of these teams are also coming off a high emotionally. You know, Miami coming in an overtime win. You know, Virginia obviously winning in a close matchup as well, North Carolina. So I could see even both teams coming in a little slow because of all the emotional high they'll be running on. I think at the end, I'm going to pick Miami just if I go one for one as far as talent in certain positions and a couple of what you assume will be one-on-one competition.
Yeah.
So I would go for Miami since it's on the road.
I'll tell you this. You know, a big win like that is like for Mario Cristobal. Mario Cristobal is a watershed win for this program, considering, and for our fans, considering what Miami has been through in the last 20-plus years. This was a watershed win last week. But it means nothing if you don't follow up with a win on Saturday. Mario Cristobal always has a motto, respect the opponent. After what Virginia did to Carolina last Saturday night, Virginia has Miami's full attention. And I don't think there'll be a letdown off a big win against Clemson. I'm going to pick the Canes in this ball game. I'm going to go Canes 27, Virginia 17. So, Jackie, Greg, thank you guys both so much for joining me today. Jackie, safe travels back from AC Media Day. Greg, we'll definitely talk again down the road.
Sounds good. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Jackie.